So he sort of run through his ideas as a musical composer about sound level, sound units, and then he takes it back to the alphabet and the Kabbalah, gets into sound sight correspondences, then he gets into breathing, tries to get back to ancient knowledge, ties it up with the binary of the digital, and then he gets into maybe he would say modern applications. But to me, it sounded familiar. I've heard other people talk about it. I think even related to the Bible code. So he'll say some interesting points that are ionic, like he might bring in genetic effects, but he doesn't know our stuff, but he's intuiting things. So that's the range, and I'd like you to honestly express the value or non-value or the error or correctness of what he's conceiving. Okay?
The very simple, that's very simple. He is trying to take the zeitgeist and use the essence of the zeitgeist to prove his validity or his valid point, which has nothing to do with what your topic is speaking about.
Right. Okay, so that's the general headline. So let me find the exact beginning.
Our native organ, to bring Chris in, the resident. Thanks for dropping by, Chris. Oh, yeah. Nice show today. I've really been enjoying all the subtle points we've crossed. Yeah. Picking up different notes, especially that modularity and nature was really fascinating. We can't just run from technology. There's a kind of fundamental principle underlying technique that which we have to grasp. I'd say hello world.
Okay, so he's saying technology we can't run from, but he's saying there's something in nature that's valuable. So it sounds like he's sitting on the fence about what's coming. He used a modern zeitgeist word, technesis. There it is. Do you have a commentary on what he's trying to say there?
No.
All right.
He's trying to set a stage.
Right.
He's just trying to set a stage.
He's trying to. Okay. Here we go.
Just a little introduction, I suppose, here. My work is grounded in visual tactility, but it crosses through the communis sensus, the sensorium, and that is how I got into yoga as a practice of tuning frequencies, in a sense, through the different perceptual modes, and the modalities as such are not just our native organs, they are the organons that we create. So the artifice of technesis, as it's grounded in that natural process of a yoga tuning into some transcendental pole in an environment, to see the relevant transients, the semiotic field, which we can notate and create a grammar about, anyways. This whole setup was simplified in my art practice, so I reduced this sort of language to describe the way a human moves through the world and absorbs and is influenced by different scenarios, and those scenarios are, when they're resonant, in a sense, they become self-contained modalities, and they interfere with each other, in a sense, and when you're done exercising a certain modality, the brain only has a certain, brain body has a certain capacity for transduction in that particular mode of vibration, and so you end up having to cycle through a series of modalities, and that's really the insight of the communis sensus from Aristotle.
He just mentioned the word transduction. Does it apply the actual meaning to what he thinks it applies to. The traveling
no.
to.
No, that's not. He's saying that he controls the flow that he's riding to, and he's going to do all these aspects and ratios to change it, to do something else, or be something else, or do something else. And that never, ever, ever works out or applies.
Because the energies he thinks he's talking about can't be molded, sculpted that way?
Yeah, I guess.
Or he can't do it.
He's all powerful, so he thinks, so he says, transcendentally especially.
Right.
But not so much.
Now, you said yoga 10,000 years ago was developed by some people, and then after a few years, they said it didn't work. So we have the after image of yoga. If he's talking about yoga and maybe the chakras or whatever the yoga philosophy says is in the body process, that would not be accurate, and it's not accurate by anybody who talks about yoga, because it never worked. Would you say what I just said, or would you add to that about yoga?
A little bit, just a little bit, because the reference is supposed to quiet you down, but instead it leads you further into the mosh pit, really.
In the mind? In the labyrinth of the mind?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so let's see. So you just talked about transduction.
The semiotic transduction that overflows through the corpus callosum and the vagus nerve, the cross-wiring of the hemispheres, and the sensorial analog signals that are passing through the body, the skin, the muscles, the angular momentum that is detected by the joints of the bones in a mathematical hierarchy.
Okay, I hear a collage of biological and esoteric patterns he's putting together here. Is that
no.
What you hear him doing is you
hear him laying out the meat sack body and how he's above it.
Right.
And he has the ideologies that overcome these basic biological function issues that's the quandary of the little man. So
right.
Much so that they want to master this so I can go and get the dead people back.
He wants to get the dead people back. Is that what you just said?
Gus. Mm-hmm.
Oh, a friend of his, Gus, died. He wants to get Gus back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I said transduction. You discussed it. And then we started again, and he went right into the transduction, the idea I thought he was saying, and he said it. All right. Next point.
Mm-hmm. It's inverted in a kind of really strange way as we focused on something like the way the toe initiates the movement of the whole body. Right? So we're looking at a myriology, a part and whole logic that can be developed within a modality. At any rate, so through the various lenses of the sensorium, you end up being able to notate in different mediums. There's a very pertinent process of selection there. So you advocate for effects by choosing the medium properly and discovering the medium as a tuning system in that sense, to whatever pieces of information presented themselves in the information field. And that can be as simple as rediscovering the invention of a pencil, which is like a reed pen, which has been carved and dipped in, you know, carbon ash with some binder.
Maybe.
Or just water. Waterfall.
He's just talking bullshit now.
Yes, I can detect that. It is based on different disciplines and stuff he's studied, read, or heard about, right? It's a collage of of McLuhan, yoga, astronomy, biology, and esoteric chakra talk. Is that what I'm hearing? A collage? Bullshitty collage?
Yes.
Okay. So we recognize that, and we'll see.
Pattern recognition. He's trying to prove he's smart by a limited pattern recognition. So somebody will say, okay, I got that. But he still can't tell you why he doesn't like the space.
The space he's in?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like the space. What's the space?
Too small.
It's too small. It sounds like a contemporary mind. I think people who, quote, are intellectuals or look into philosophy and ideas today, you have access to so many pattern recognizers, pattern creators, that you end up having a mind, which I say is quadriphenic, that's a collage. And he's a perfect expression of the zeitgeist, of that type of mind.
And every time we go through it, we get to here, and then it quits. And then we start over, and we do it again, and again, 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 again. It's quite ridiculous, but let's try it one more time.
Okay.
Which are the oldest, one of the oldest mediums. And by going to the origin of the process of notation, you end up encountering a kind of a peripheral set of modes which offer almost like a self-productive, generative system of perspectives. And so, in a sense, the setting up of an artistic practice is removing myself from the act of thinking. And again, this is the simplification process of I'm just a human moving through an environment encountering transcendental poles, which I can't directly perceive, but I can identify my information through the semiotic field, and that indicates transcendental poles. And those transcendental poles are not connected to any prior mimetic environment in the human synthetic sense. And so there is a process of cultural introduction, exhibition, and performance, which is this important process of renewal of the bonds of human language.
Oh, my God. Bob, listen to what he's trying to say. He's trying to say the bonds of human emotion are bound by the words, that the emotion creates the words that bound the body to the words that the emotion created. That's worse than Eckhart Tolle.
And he's talking, this is an original writing and notation. He's taking it back to there. Original Pythagorean code or something. You might hear a little bit more about that if you didn't get that. But I see what you're saying.
Understanding that art has this role and that the effects of producing a efficient notation or some kind of information has benefit for other humans on a cultural level. It kind of reinforces this urge to create an absence of thinking or a deference, you know, because what is thinking? This kind of classical philosophical question. And in one sense, you could call it a diagnostic of the field of effects that you're engaged with, and that's precisely what I've been describing. So when we encounter a alphabet in a particular language, that happens to be passed down from history, and it was generated at some point through a similar process. of observation, perhaps in a multisensorial percept of the inner workings of the body itself. The way characters of the alphabet can read
inanimately, but okay. It's a hard stretch, Bob.
What is inanimately?
Without function, you're like a used dish rag. You just lay there.
So he's getting epiphany out of the used dish rag posture he's in. Kind of make an epiphany out of it. Did you say that?
Sure.
Okay. Notice he's now talking about the alphabet in notation and relating it to what he already said about how you can get detached from your yogic processes and sculpt the situation. And then this is deposited in the alphabet codes and maybe in Pythagoras or something. Is that approximately what he is attempting to say? Don't fall asleep, Ion. Come on.
We can't. There's nothing to say.
All right. We'll just carry on.
The posture of the mouth as it's pronouncing the word.
The posture of the mouth as it's pronouncing the word.
It'd be like the condition of the environment that allowed the environment to hear the words that were spoken.
Okay.
In this case, the sounds themselves become complementary, and the character is a visual notation. In a sense, it is a attuned medium for that multisensorial body percept.
I think what he just said, what you just said.
Percept. God, you know what a fucking percept was? He's on fire. Percept.
What he just said there, he seemed to be saying what you had just said. The environment and the medium affects the percept of the word order to articulate what the environment did to you.
Blah, 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 blah. Sounded good when we said it, though.
Beg your pardon?
It sounded good when we said it, though.
Yes. You made sense of it.
Of the spoken word and the written word. Then takes on a supporting
word. There is no written word. If you don't speak the word, it's lost. There's no written word. The only way write a word is a word. There is no written word. The only way you can write a word is that it's one that's spoken. Without the spoken word, you won't know what to write.
So what is writing? That's a dimming down?
That is a regurgitation of a spoken word.
Okay, and he's trying to say they're separate. You got the spoken words and the
posture. He's trying to say the written word, and then the written word it takes over the societal woes of the conditioned response of the zeitgeist that may or may not apply. If you knew what you were talking about, then the outer body would know what the inner body didn't know that it should have known. In this conditioned response that pervades or is pervasively adopted among the societal woes that I don't even seem to understand. Yes, I love that.
Okay.
Adopted culturally, there's a new field of effects that can be studied, and this is very fascinating. There's a kind of a...
I get so amazed when I hear myself speak. I get so excited when I hear myself speak. It's amazing when I hear myself speak. I don't even know what I'm going to say, but it's so amazing when I hear myself speaking.
So he's confusing affect with effect, sounds like to me.
Correct. Yeah, inanimate with inanimate.
He's confusing the categories with life and death.
Life and death, and over and under. hoisted and fallen. The falling of my ridiculous petard. That's the one.
Transmission, in the sense of Plato's Ion dialogue of where does inspiration...
Easy. He just cited Plato's Ion dialogue.
Uh-huh.
And he had listened to Ion a little bit when he did this just before.
But you can't tell.
Right. When you chose the name Ion for yourself, was one of the levels the Plato reference? That's in our cultural history.
It chose us. No, it chose us.
Who's they?
The name chose us.
Okay.
We didn't choose the name. We didn't need a name. We could have been Ian and been all right with us. We could have been Dickie Dogs and been all right with us.
And so the name chose you. Ion wanted to be heard.
The Delphinian oracles chose us.
All right, that's Ionia, which was a kind of a beginning place for culture. Would you say for the world culture, or Tibet and China were separate? It's more Western.
What's the difference? If culture applies, no matter where it came from, it's like a word. If it's written, it was spoken. So which word? All of them. So yeah. Okay.
So I think that's
if it's from a civilization that's fallen, that was still a civilization. However fallen, it's still a civilization.
Yeah, I think in anthropology it's called diffusion. You know, an origin, the ascended continent, and then all cultures were aberrations of that original pattern.
Or diversions. Say diversions is a better word.
And digressions. Okay.
They're not digressions yet, but they may be. They may become it. So yeah, likely.
Okay. I rewound it just slightly to hear the Ion statement again.
In a sense, it is a attuned medium for that multisensorial body perception of the spoken word, and the written word then takes on a supporting role, but as it's adopted culturally, there's a new field of effects that can be studied, and this is very fascinating. There's a kind of a transmission, in the sense of Plato's Ion dialogue of where does inspiration derive in the chain of interpreters. So you have the poet and the bard or the orator, and you have the audience and critics and so forth. And in that succession, there's a direct link from the origin, the transcendental pole, in a sense. It cannot be calculated directly, but it has a presence that is a through line. And let's go back to the simplification. This is...
Oh, my God, what the fuck is this man trying to say? He's going around in circles on the condition of his response to cause the chasm that's the cause of the clism comes from the capacity of the clappers. It's the damn flappers, Bob. We knew it was those 1920, the flappers. They caused it all with their car wash skirt. That's what it was. iCart said it all. That's what it was. It's an iCart problem.
Okay.
Sorry, Bob. We digress.
I know. I understand. I knew this would be painful, but it's for the team, okay?
Not strictly an efficient cause of an ego, per se, but it is a source of being and something
yes, ego.
It's a force of dig. What's the force of dig?
Let me just see. Just move back slightly.
It was after ego, the force of dig. Well, maybe you were trying to say id, but it came across as dig or fig or shit or Bitch ass. I think it was bitch ass motherfucker, Bob. It sounded like bitch ass motherfucker.
Okay, let's see if we got it here.
Strictly an efficient cause of an ego, per se, but it is a source of being. And
yes, a course of being. What is this? What is a course of being? What is that? A course of yeah. It was a course of we're going to do that Saturday night. It was a course of yeah. That's what. What is that word, Bob?
That a G? Is he some esoteric Buddhist term or Kabbalah?
Yeah, that's the word. Yeah. Okay, we got ego, and of course I'm. Yeah. Carolyn needs to make a complete formula work on her back. Have you break down? Do you go out at parties and go? Yeah. If you do, it's not good. If you had the beer, I didn't know if I was going to cover, and my ego couldn't take it anymore. Oh, my God. Where do you get these people? Bob, where do you find these? How far under the rocks do you have to go to find these esoteric parameters of anomaly? Parameters of anomaly, yes.
It's just a replay of my C. Kellen days. You know, Bob has land. Okay. Here we go.
It's not strictly an efficient cause of an ego, per se, but it is a source of being and something that we have to grapple with as we think about what was human cognition like in ancient times. Because we have the conceit of technology doesn't mean that there wasn't some kind of technesis beyond our comprehension with regard to what you might say is a metaphysiological cognition. That's again the multifactorial person.
Okay, so he's citing that there was good stuff in the past. Just because we have our advanced technologies we think today doesn't mean there wasn't a different kind of advanced technology and superior to today back then. Now, you would say, yes, there was a lot of advanced stuff that came out of the ascended continent. So he's not wrong.
Everything is now. It's just not a suspended animation of then and now. There's only now. You have the curtailed capacity of then, which is nothing other than a becoming now. A becoming now, if you're going to say it like that.
Right. So his mistake is to actually fall for a space-time continuum where there was a pathway back separated from today.
He's making a spatial divide that isn't there.
Yeah.
It's a spatial divide. There's no divide. If you can embrace that, now all of a sudden it's like, okay, gotcha.
Well, I think he's thinking he is discovering that, and then it becomes part of our zeitgeist, and so it's part of our now, and he's reintegrated the divide, the spatial divide.
Mm.
But you're saying you can't reintegrate it. Yeah, you wouldn't
know.
Why
would you?
Already...
That's kind of like, I am where I am, and I'm going to take where I am, move it into where I am. So when I figure out where I am, I'm going to take the am that is ma'am, and my past am, and my future now, and my am, and I'm going to have an am. I'm going to have a double am. I'm going to have a double am. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like my I am is twice removed from myself.
Okay.
And we go, so then you'd say Hendiades is one by means of two, and we go, yes, but all those are contained within the same semblance of an ordered progression. What he's saying is that the progressions are not ordered and have to be discovered in the difference between the spoken word and the written word, reality that's engaged and one that's not. But see, there's a lot of realities that are going on. Robin is enjoying a reality that bumps into yours, but nothing like your reality.
Hmm.
Right. There once upon a time, Ed Seaton was better off than you. If you can ever imagine that.
No. I can't see that.
See the rub? See the rub? But now all of a sudden, it's a different conversation. Well, that always is the way. The way it is now is the way it always was. You just had to be noted within the condition. See? But you would never acknowledge it other than being any ever different than it is right now, which is what Goobersnatch is trying to argue for, we guess. We don't really know, but go ahead. You're right.
Yeah,
get the pain pills.
You're just saying,
we're going to have Karen and make some pain pills. This is pretty painful.
But you're saying, you just said, I'm trying to say, or he's trying to say, that back then was different from now. And you're saying, nope, there never was a difference.
Correct. You're correct.
Yeah. Okay. Now, he might claim that that's what he's trying to say, but
can't tell because he keeps making these subtle, however blatant, condition qualifications that point out the differences from the deference. He's giving the differences of the deference, making it a separate thing of like the good old days, you know, back to those good old days when you went to the outhouse out behind the house.
Okay.
Before indoor plumbing.
That is engaged with on a level of yogic tuning, which because the body is so complex, you know, you speak of nutrition, but nutrition is complicated by autophagy. Autophagy.
A prophecy? A tautology? He's not saying tautology, but...
Apophagy. He's trying to say that the condition is worse than the disease.
Well,
Apophagy. Well, he can't tell because it doesn't make any damn sense what he's trying to say. He's trying to say Godship doesn't have anything... Godship is not as good as being with God. Well, okay.
I'm looking up apophagy, okay, there. Well, fasting, weight loss. Apophagy, fasting, weight loss. So that's
waste
a kind of altering
into waste.
Right,
to waste.
That fasting is apophagy, is maybe how he's using it, but that's an attempt to alter yourself, alter your sensory makeup through fasting. Okay, so that's... That's
the stretch. The stretch. We'll give it to you, but it's a stretch, Bob.
Yeah, he had said yogic tuning earlier. Yogic tuning. So there's the yoga citation again.
Well, you can do a plow. We'll probably. If you can hold a plow, we'll probably fuck you. So it's all good.
Recycling of cells.
Ah, now he's getting into the cellular. If he didn't mean cells, selves, you know.
And the problem is you can ask him and he wouldn't know either, so we're even on that one.
Okay.
In a intermittently or in a longer period of fasting, you can train the body to become efficient at self-recycling and through triggering of the metabolism by oxygen flow through breathing. And so there's an autonomy over the metabolic system which complicates.
You're right. He's there saying through breathing, you can dominate your body systems. Mm-hmm. And that's what you said at the beginning he's trying to do. Now, you say that the breathing is all backwards. Humans are... going to diminish.
They don't breathe in, they only exhale. They don't breathe in, they breathe out only. The obverse is what happens as an occurrence of breathing out.
Right, so we are going to breathe out, or we've always been just breathing out?
That's the only thing you do is breathe out. It's kind of like when you smack a baby, when a baby's born, they're not breathing, you smack them on the ass, they exhale and start crying. They push it out, and then the air comes in. Because they push it out, and that's what you continue from there on forward. the essence
so, yeah,
of breathing.
Yeah, and he's going to get into breath control, but if you don't know this breathing out factor...
Oh, my God, you mean this goes longer? Oh, my God. We'll shut up. We'll let this go
yeah,
real
just
smooth.
Shut up.
We'll start agreeing with him real fast. He's going to be a champion before this is over, if it ain't over quick, Bob. Go ahead.
So we need basic minerals, okay? And we need life itself, right? What is that? Well, it's a kind of genetic code that's been transmitted through our cultures. We've shaped agriculture. We, in a sense, we're the beneficiaries of the selective thought process of the ancients, again, through our agricultural bounty. And there's even a history tied into the treatment of living systems as a central figure or a kind of final cause in the field of thinking. So when we consider the thoughts themselves as these transient forms of beauty, so to speak. Fundamentally, there's a chain that links all the way back to the living systems that we're connected to.
There's a chain all the way back to the living systems that we're connected to. That's pretty preposterous. That's needless confusion.
It's meanness. It doesn't matter. It's not saying anything. Okay, every part of me is connected to me from the beginning of me. Okay. Okay.
And if you refine your insight around those living systems, say through fermentation, sprouting, watching how animals eat grass when they're sick or fasting, we can refine even further our autonomy over our metabolic system. And you can imagine this process going on in its own dialectical periodicities. And you end up with everybody having a unique way of being with their body. But if we try to emulate to some extent or learn from certain strategies used by insightful, let's say the Qumran Essene community has texts written about how to bake sprouted bread as a way to sustain high energy levels. Well,
thick sprouted bread. It's tapping into the original bread. Bread of life. Or was he not?
We don't know. It's lost art at this point.
His text written about how to bake sprouted bread as a way to sustain high energy levels while participating in a high frequency rate of autophagy of the body. And this is really interesting because what they're pointing to in their text, not just how to bake a loaf of bread with sprouted grains, it's connected to this insight that we're connecting to an even deeper level of life through this sort of recognition of the life-death cycle itself in ourselves and in the things we're sprouting because they are fresh and then they wither away and rot and mold and... So there's a whole epigenetic study to be done in this respect. But more succinctly, in this context of art making and thinking as such, what we're trying to do is learn how to think with the body, per se. And you do that by shaping the body over a long period of time. It's a concept that you can relate to terrain modification. This deep critical look at all the systems and organs of the body in a modular way.
Looking at the deep organs, deep way at the organs in a modular way. Have you ever said an idea? Have you ever advocated that?
No, it's ridiculous.
What would he mean by a modular way?
He's trying to say that the put-on body is different than the conditioned body. That he just said you morphed and mortified or mortificated into a thing outside of a thing that was a thing, which, like the rest of his chatter, doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah, so he's trying to show the value of fasting, and they were good at it, and you make good bread while fasting or something. Okay, so I didn't get really the sequence there.
And but just on a basic level, when the body is in a self-recycling state and you're providing nutrients and metabolic thrust through the breath.
Providing metabolic thrust through the breath. Now, he had mentioned earlier minerals. Then he's talking about the life-death cycle in flower or plants. And now you don't see a life-death cycle in nature, or do you?
No, we do not. We don't. There is not one.
Right. So he's taking the cliche assumptions of little man who think he's got one short world, one short life, brutish and terrible, and then saying, well, nature shows us that too, the raw tooth of nature.
Okay.
Okay, so he's hypnotized. He's denying his eternity, though he might advocate eternity as something we could aspire to. And he's also talking to relating it to thinking and making art, which he might think we're doing on the program that this is a recording of. We are talking and making art and thinking. You don't like to stress thinking and making art, correct?
No. No.
Right.
Art
doesn't
just
work.
It's like in all the Boogaroos, Art and his brother Jimmy are the ones looking at Nymphylum. Look up Nymphylum. It's a Bouguereau painting. That's the only representation of Art and his brother peeking at the nudies at the pool.
That's a painting that you say illustrates something that little men do?
Art. They represent art.
Okay. More than many other paintings. You single out that one, hits the bullseye.
Yeah. Art, we call art is in the person named Art who's looking at the naked women at the pool.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can engage in approximations, or you can be in the presence of the actual entity, in a sense, which we point to as the ancients, say, in the Qumran communities of the proto-Christians.
So the ancient communities of the proto-Christians he's pointing to. Anything special about those ancient communities?
Is that Frodo Baggins' brother?
Well, maybe he's trying to point to the Coathanites.
We don't know.
Which would be
it's
valid.
It's a stretch.
But he's not describing anything about what the Coathanites had going for them. He's not near that.
Obviously.
Okay.
Obviously. Mm-hmm.
And when you read their scriptures and their common text and their criticisms, it you are sort of emulating to some extent what they're saying in the text itself, you can begin to resonate with that. And there's a notion that a musical instrument really doesn't have any age, because if you find the remnants, you can reconstruct it and play it as if it was new.
Yes.
See, now he's taking the thing of application. That's where the trap, everybody falls into. They're like saying, I can take an old oboe and play it like it's a new oboe. Well, that's the same body that played the oboe, the old oboe, or the new oboe. Okay, I want an old piano, now play a new tune. There's no such thing. Or an old tune on a new piano. There's no difference. So the same way is true with the Meat-Tech body. But he's just wasted 45 fucking minutes trying to explain the difference of the two. It's ridiculous, Bob. But.
All right, let's see what he goes with this.
And in a sense, these texts are similar. They provide a transcendental pole, which is outside of our space-time, but it's part of a natural environment, extended through human culture and grounded in these very pertinent, essential modalities of the balance, in a sense. So how do you maintain a series of beautiful cognitive revelations over a long period of time? You know, if you abide by the modern theories, you'll burn out. There's a kind of lack of balance between the pulse of life and death. And so, fundamentally, that is this relates to this notion of the Aleph in the Hebrew tradition.
The Aleph, A-L-E-P-H.
Which is this in the alphabet, you have the Aleph Bet, and as the first letter, it's not the first letter of creation, Bereshit Bara, first word in Genesis, begin with a Bet.
First word in Genesis.
Elohim At.
Bob, why does he have to make a sentence and then explain what he was saying in the sentence? Why can't he just speak and figure out that smart people can know what he's saying and stupid people can look up what he's saying? Why does he have to say a sentence and then explain what he was explaining to explain? It doesn't make any damn sense, because he's not even correct in the way he's laying out the details of this parameters that he's trying to explain, that he's trying to curtail, or maybe he doesn't know. And he's using this venue to say some words and then unprove those nullified words. Okay.
These are like the zero and the one.
The zero and the one.
Oh, fuck. How much more have we got of this? Is it winding up good?
No, there's a lot more, but we won't do it all. I think we can come back to this every now and then for comic relief.
Oh my God,
comic,
very funny. Yeah,
I know. He may be saying that the digital is in the original Hebrew alphabet, the O and the
but
one.
But it's not. See, that's the rub. The point is that everything he's trying to prove, he's trying to take what is. He's trying to say it's the same thing we say all the time. If you are a little man and you're trying to prove there's a God so you can become one, you don't believe there's a God, so you have to create a God and you're trying to become one. And we go, no, you were already God. You fell from God. You're just trying to come back. Coming back is 10,000 times easier than becoming one in the first place. And so far, he's taken about 50 minutes to explain how you can't do that thing that you're doing. From the past, present, future, inside out, cellular, starve yourself, don't starve yourself. Sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm on it, sometimes I'm not. I have a written word, but then there's a spoken word. And then the oral transition of the rendition qualifies the written word, and therefore it's written, so therefore that's substantially more appropriate. See the rub? It just kind of becomes a bit trite. Nothing to argue other than it's just psychobabble, but, you know how psychobabble goes.
Right. What could he claim that you're not getting?
Nothing so far. He might do something one day, but nothing really so far.
Okay, let's just go a little bit further. You know that book, The Bible Code, where somebody claimed they cracked the code using computers, didn't they?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did they find a digital 0-1 pattern in the Bible, in that book?
Yeah, but then it was all dispelled. So it was yes, but it was all dispelled.
By what?
Reality, so you don't have any room for emotion in what you call the Bible code.
Right, so is Chris here creating room for emotion in what he's trying to talk about?
Maybe, but not really, because he's trying to make it be an ego thing.
He's not trying to transcend the ego.
You're right. But actually, what you're trying to figure out, Bob, it's not really the Bible code. It's more the Torah code.
The digital does apply to the Torah code.
Yeah, which is where there's words hidden in the text of the Torah.
Okay. Did James Joyce try to do that when fitting his weight?
Did it with the Playfair cipher that you haven't quite worked out yet. But you're fixing
it. Yeah. Okay.
Two components of the alphabet which generate, in a sense, the rest. And Elohim Ah.
Elohim Ah. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, Elohim is God with us.
Okay. I think he's trying to say these
part of the part. It's part of the Bella. It's part of the Baraku.
All right, which means what? Baraku.
It's a prayer.
Okay, so he's trying to say that in the Hebrew, there's a doubleness or a two. That's in Elohim Ha, and it's going to lead to something.
That's the living God. That's the living God. Elohim Ha is the living God.
Well, what's the dead God?
Not a dead God. It's that would be the singular Elohim. Elohim.
Oh, okay.
First word in Genesis begin with a bet. Elohim At, the second two letters.
That's the living God.
These are like the zero and the one.
Are they like the zero and the one?
No.
You have these two things, and then you make everything from that. That's the Joycean idea that, you know, you have a word or two, and you can make a whole language echoing from the word. Is that what he's trying to get to?
I don't know.
Okay.
Components of the alphabet which generate, in a sense, the rest. And Elohim At, Aleph Tav, is describing the means by which creation is produced. The Tav is kind of the cross. The tetradic resistor, little 400. We're looking at life as a process of breathing through resistances which are projections of life death cycles, which are these particular orientations to modalities, which in another language could be related to a kind of karmic wheel of sorts. We engage with the world and we deal with the consequences of that form of engagement.
That's the very idea you disagree with, the karmic wheel as a determinant or conditioner. So he's saying the first two words indicate some living origins that ends up to be the life-death cycle, which doesn't
in
exist.
Essence.
Right, so this is
in
quite erroneous. In essence, he's being quite erroneous from your perspective, or what you say.
Okay.
So, let's just transit here just for a moment. This out is this constantly present relation of projection into the world, but you can never see it. It's like the ultimate silence, in a sense.
The ultimate silence. Is there such a thing?
Nehemiah 5:9.
That refers to the ultimate silence.
Yeah.
Would that be God?
That gives in some eternity to eternity.
All right, which we are experiencing.
So far.
Okay.
But it's also the creation. You can't really put it into words, but when you say it, you have the death.
I think he's saying Aleph. How would you define Aleph, Ion, that he's not including? What is the function of the first two words, of the Aleph in Scripture?
But it's Baruch, Atai, Elohimo, Ehuna, Haray. That's the blessing be the name of God. You're trying to confer something onto what God is, and he's lost and stupid.
Did you just quote Hebrew or angel talk?
Hebrew, the Baraku.
Oh, okay. You mentioned that earlier. Right. So you knew that's what he was getting. He mentioned the Baraku. Okay.
Well, no, he didn't know that's what he was doing. We're telling you what he's trying to say. Mm-hmm. But it's just sad. Go ahead.
The guttural last cry,
So he's trying to break down the mouth movements of Aleph. Is that significant?
Oh,
can that,
God.
Can that
not
lead to
Aleph,
something?
No, Adonai, Adonai.
I've seen that word.
Atai, Adonai, Elohimu. Let me go on from there.
Okay.
That and the leap of the tongue and speech and the pay, the fee, which is 555 level of thinking, which relates to the Fibonacci sequence.
Ah, so I think he said that guttural pronunciation and analysis of the sensory movement of the tongue in the mouth, saying Aleph, these 155 levels of something that gets into the Fibonacci series. Do you see any relevance to the Fibonacci series? Because he's going to go on about that.
No, none at all, whatsoever, at all. It's ridiculous.
What is
that? Trying to take the Baraku, which is a blessing, from Nehemiah 5 and trying to move that into some bullshit from Shema. But in Shema, it's not recited. Because it's not an afternoon service. Look it up. It's a service.
In the Bible? Or the Jewish Bible?
In Hebrew. Mm-hmm.
Hebrew. Okay, so to emphasize to be hypersensitive to how the tongue is moving in the mouth and the sculpture of sound that comes out, couldn't that be an awareness of, in a sense, caveman? caveman's grunt. They're called verbal.
Well, no. It's the Shema. It would be the affirmation of God's singularity. That you are one. And he's trying to make you be a bunch, and you're not a bunch. You're only one.
Okay. So he's focusing his analysis and thinking on the wrong sensory apparatus, the mouth. It's
correct.
No profit.
He's got a mitzvah that he's trying to call on a Shabbat. It doesn't work that way. It's backwards.
Okay. Well, what? Maybe he's trying to find something new by going backwards.
I can't tell. It doesn't make no goddamn sense so far. So okay.
Maybe yeah. So someday, he didn't get there.
Someday my prince will come, but. He's just saying some words and saying, blah, 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 might mean this. If we came to that, we could have this. And because of Nehemiah, we know something because now that's what we know. And, yeah, that's, you know, that's from the cellular level, from the strata that allows you to be human, that you know things because you had a written word that you one time spoke but you never heard. A written word that was one time spoke that you never heard. Oh, okay. So that's the secret to life then. Oh, okay, you got it. Well, you shit, we're good now. We got it all figured out now.
The way we move through resistance systems, and that is emulating one of the fundamental functions of life. And so I frequently use C in my art for that reason. It's a way of using numbers without really using number calculations.
So he's using that in his art, numbers without numbers, as calculation.
That's Purim.
Yeah, what language is that word, Purim?
Hebrew.
Okay.
The numbers calculate themselves because they're ordering within the principle underlying the Fibonacci series. And it turns out that you can create fantastic results that way. Maybe that's another way we can dive into the intricacies of the Fibonacci code.
What is insignificant about the Fibonacci code? You have this pattern, spiraling pattern out of the seashell. Is the archetypal image. What is what's the significance of Pythagoras or whoever, Fibonacci himself, put into that that's erroneous? What pattern did they try to see in that?
I don't know, Bob. It's crazy because it don't make any sense till yet.
Well, there is a repeating point in the Fibonacci series. It's not important to point that out. That's not happening in nature or in reality or in our being.
Maybe.
Fibonacci.
We don't know.
How come
according
we don't
to him,
know?
You won't know. Because you won't know. According to him, you won't know till you experience it. Because a written word can't tell you because it's never been heard. And a spoken word doesn't apply till it's written. See, so you can't know that you know.
All right.
Is that there's an image of the breath of life in the Aleph.
Is there an image of the breath of life in the Aleph?
Whatever, yeah. Whatever that means. Stupid. He's going off in these tangents, Bob, because it's crazy.
Yes. Okay. I enjoy that kind of talk.
The speak is good if it meant something or could get to something that means something. But so far, all we've proven is that he don't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
And the Yud. Is this projection, the 10, the 10. It's the outer shell.
The Yud is the 10, is the outer shell. Anything, is he getting close with that?
No.
What is the Yud as opposed to the Aleph?
He's trying to mix
He's trying to mix the original Hebrew into the zeitgeist of Yahweh's representation of Elohim. And he's off by about 10,000 miles. And so to sit here and talk about, you're asking us how deluded he is, and we're telling you how deluded he is. And the ick is the lock, and the duke, and the dock, and the lick, and the lock. And, God damn. It's like, yeah, you can't get there from here. So, yeah, we don't know, Bob. It isn't funny anymore. Go ahead.
Can one get in these convoluted delusions through smoking marijuana or doing psychedelics?
Yeah. Psychotropics, yeah.
Psychotropics could help you move toward a
help
fact.
Help you. If you call his position helped, I don't know, Bob. Maybe delusion is I guess delusions of grandeur are grandiose, aren't they?
Yeah. But The psychotropics make you think these kind of thinkings are getting somewhere.
Are logical. Mm-hmm.
Or are logical, yeah. Okay.
Of the modular resonances at play in the modalities that's being projected.
The modular resonance in the modalities that are being projected. I'm not sure what the last word was. What do you make of the... What are modular resonances?
No idea.
Okay.
I mean, this is some modular references. These are those spoken. Is this the difference between the spoken word and the written word of Elohim, Adonai?
Okay.
Passage of Aleph, which is 1 into 10, which is
the passage of Aleph, which is 1 into 10. Any sense there?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, Bob, this is crazy.
Okay, so maybe we're almost halfway through, so we'll stop in a minute and take a breather for a while, for a couple of weeks or something. Okay.
Good. It requires a sequence of actions. Which, when considered in the book of Genesis, it is articulating the fundamental process of creation as it occurs in the brain and the body and life itself as you're reading the text. So it's a recursive grounding. Again, this actual entity, we're in the presence someone of the human agency. But it's not just a human agency, it's something greater. It's connected to nature and the ultimate, which we have many names for.
The ultimate, which we have many names for. So, we stumble Genesis, which you've done a lot on, Genesis. Are the OA movements trying to recover gestures that they used in communication of each other's being on the ascended continent? And so these Aboriginal rituals are echoes of stylized gestural communication. Is that what Chris is looking for? The gestures underlying words?
Don't know. Nothing, no words have been said so far to lead us to that laudable conclusion, but maybe.
All right, so we'll do just another bit, and we'll leave it. We'll say, well, maybe he hasn't got to his point yet. Give him the benefit of the doubt for till the next time.
Okay.
And so maybe I'll just read this text here, and we can walk through.
Oh, my God.
The meanings.
All right, so that's where we'll pick up, where he reads a text someday.
Boy, Bob.
Well, that was fun.
That was painful, yes.
I know, but thank you for taking on his ideas. They're sort of
interesting. Well, if he had some, we wish he could come somewhere, if he would come to some laudable position. Even something we could disagree with would be great, but it wasn't sensical enough to even engage. You're gonna rewrite the Barracoo? Okay, do that. But you don't even reference or give credence to what you're trying to apply. Then you're gonna talk. So this whole conversation is to tell me how fucked up I am or how I'm not fucked up. I ain't figured it out just yet.
Well, he's as a musician, he's looking back at visual.
Oh my God! He hadn't mentioned one spatial reference to a megahertz frequency, which is what stupid music is. He's trying to figure out how to rewrite the Barracoo. Nice.
And the Barracoo was a statement about being blessed?
That's the Hebrew prayer. Yes, what you start services with.
Okay.